They're bad. They're boys. And occasionally, they talk about running. Yes, it's the Bad Boy Running Podcast with your hosts, Jody Rainsford and David Heller.
Admit I was a clone to be messing around, but that doesn't mean that you have to leave town.
Hello, Jody Rainsford. Hello, Dude Badders. Welcome to Bad Boy Running.
Hello, how you doing? Hello.
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Oh, my days. I've just got
Big time coming up.
Yes, yeah. Wedding on at the weekend, which is too soon. Not in terms of for my love, for too soon in terms of for our logistical.
David, hasn't that horse bolted?
That horse has indeed bolted. You call my wife a horse. Ouch. Ouch. Yes, we currently have a shipment of items we need for the wedding, literally in Belarusia, which
oh no, oh, an ally.
Yeah, yeah. I just had an update from my shipper to say that, and yeah, it's a shame because it's things that are it's the wedding favours. I won't say what they are, but we've got some quite specific wedding favours that we've had designed for the wedding. So not having them there at the wedding is somewhat problematic when you have friends from around the world visiting. So it could be costly postage-wise afterwards, or we're just going to be sat with 300 because there was no point buying 150 because it costs the same price. So 300 of the thing that becomes null and void after the wedding, which is
amazing.
Always good.
I don't know. I'm sure the Hellard entrepreneurial kick will somehow manage to resell it in some clever way, or members of the Bad Boy Running Club are going to suddenly find themselves with the legendary treat. weirdly useless and related to Hellard's wedding, but.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait a minute. If it's in Belarus, doesn't that mean it's sanctioned? I thought that anything from Belarus was sanctioned now, and you know, you weren't allowed to ship it. And there's all that turns up at the Hellard wedding's going to find themselves on some kind of Russian blacklist.
That is quite a good excuse then for, well, this is what I've been sent. I don't know if you can see that, Jody. Have I positioned that right?
I can kind of see it, yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, I see. Yeah. It's so in Minsk.
You can see where it started. It started in eastern China, and then for some reason it did a weird thing.
It took a hell of a detour.
Yeah.
Did it take a detour to Tehran or something?
Yeah. It looks like it, especially as I'm pretty sure this was going by sea. So,
I don't. Why is it going overland? I've never seen something go overland. Like, what? Are we 14th century traders now going along the Silk Road?
Camels on the Silk Road. Yeah, indeed. It's been traded for like. It started off as being traded for a paperclip, and it's worth. It's worth huge amounts now in Minsk. It's now worth
the stamps are going to be incredible on that. you're going to get like a customs form like that thick with everything that everywhere it's been.
Yeah. Well, I've we had loads of plans. Some of them have come through, but some of them haven't. But what I hadn't realised, so I bought quite a lot of BrewDog and. BrewDog itself, you know when they normally do things right. So I went on the website and I ordered a multi-box. And actually used Bruno's login because he's got a bigger discount than me. So thanks, Bruno. There's something called the Headliners, and they send you 48 cans, mixed cans, of what they think are their headliners. So, you know, Punk, Elvis Juice, Hazy Jane, yep. Dead Pony, Clockwork Orange, Planet Pale. So I thought, great, I'll get three of those. Oh no, maybe I've got six of those and then some of the others. It turns out within that 48 cans, I didn't really break it down, because they don't break down in great detail on the page what's in each one. It's just kind of mixed. Yeah. And then if you put in the ingredients, it tells you the ingredients. You click the brew sheet, tells you the brew sheet. So it turns out the vast majority of those are Clockwork Orange for some reason. So you get two cans of Punk in your 48 what? Cans.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically it's just utterly, like whatever we've got left, kind of, whatever well, there's the an overstock like, of.
And I emailed them from a kind of shirty email from Bruno's account saying, like, guys, come on, this is ridiculous. You've given me something like in every one of the six 48 cans, you've given me like 16 cans of Clockwork Orange. Like, come on, man. Who drinks that much Clockwork Orange? Like, literally, what the hell are you playing at? This is clearly bullshit. And yeah, they've so... I hope you're happy to drink a lot of Clockwork Orange this weekend, because someone's got to.
I'm very happy with Clockwork Orange.
Oh, good. You're going to have a great weekend.
I mean, I don't know 16 cans of Clockwork Orange. I don't know how I'm going to be feeling at the end of that.
No. It's 16 cans per batch. So, no, that's just like... That's wave one.
Isn't it one batch per guest? One batch per guest, isn't it? Is that not,
that's
is that
true.
Not how it works?
We've only got six guests. True. There have been dropouts. Well, weirdly, Ali was saying that the Run Britannia is actually staying within miles of the wedding on the wedding evening, but they'd be passing through if they were to go at the time of the speeches, which I don't think it would go down well with Briggsy. So, but how are things with you? What's been happening?
All right. What's been happening? Nothing really. My life seems to be dominated by horses at the moment, and
no running.
Not being able to do stuff by a horse. Oh yeah, I'm running. Oh, that's running is fine. Like, just a little bit of running. I said to myself, I'm going to go to the gym more, but I just don't seem to find the time for it. I keep paying for the bloody gym.
You've got to swallow the frog for breakfast. Isn't that a phrase?
It makes a big difference, because I haven't been going into Brighton for work as much, and I've been doing more stuff at home. It's just like finding ways of getting out the house. Like, it's so easy to get stuck at home, and especially when the children are off as well. Like, at least if I can say, I'll take Frida to school, and then I can go to the gym, and I can go to Brighton, and
just take her to school anyway. Just
drop her at school. It's absolutely fine. Yeah, like, it's not.
They've got playgrounds.
No.
Can you run alongside the pony?
You're not really supposed to. Oh, we went. Frida had a. Oh, you know what I said at the start? Oh, that horse has bolted. We went to. Frida had a competition on Monday that we went along to, and you go to these things, and there's just a load of horses, as you'd expect there to be, but.
Yeah.
One thing I've never seen before when you go to these things is like a horse had got free and was just fucking bolting around the place. And it's like, you know, like when you have a dog that kind of goes mad and starts running around. Just imagine that, though, with a much, much bigger dog and how much more dangerous that is. And then, you know, with a dog, you can normally kind of calm it down and stuff. But with a pony, it's like fucking bolting it round at a ridiculous speed. And all you can do in that situation is just go, shut the gate. Like, the only thing you do, no one can stop it. But eventually,
Everyone have to whisper? Everyone's like, shh, Aussie, 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 Aussie. Because that's the only thing you can do, isn't it?
The only thing you can do is just wait. Because all of a sudden, the horse is bolting around at ridiculous speed. And then suddenly, it just grinds to a halt and just starts eating grass. And that's it. It just, eventually, it will stop and eat grass. You're just like, imagine that.
Would actually like to see that, yeah.
It is. It was great. Like, to see this, just to see this completely unhinged pony, like, tearing it through in between all these horse boxes and horse trailers and, like, you know, sort of people genteelly, you know, sort of standing around having tea and cake and stuff like that, and this fucking mental horse like tearing it through the middle of them all, and everyone just being really calm and relaxed and just, oh yes, that's what fucking horses do, it seems. But yeah, so that's good. But it actually, this is a good seg, because it reminds me of something. So Frieda had to do a as part of the pony club, as well as indoctrinating them into thinking that hunting is a good thing. They have to do a bunch of different...
How do they do that? Do they smear them in blood, or...?
Well, it's just... The whole thing is set up to do all this fucking blood sport bullshit. So they do all these different things, and they do all these different exercises. And one of the things they have to do is learn traffic, how to cope with your horse around traffic, which is a perfect thing. And in order to do this, the Pony Club has basically created a DVD of this.
Do they not call
a
video, that trafficking?
Not quite. And they've got this DVD, it's educational DVD about how to deal with you know, when cars come up and such things. And they have they've hired a presenter to do it, and you will never guess who the presenter is for this pony traffic.
Patty Banton?
It is Mike Bushell. They have got the man himself, Mike Bushell. My daughter.
Is he filming?
She was
it
so
like a
delighted.
Cameo?
It wasn't quite like a cameo, but it was quintessential Bushell. It was, there's some education, but a little bit of joking around type thing as well. Yeah. and then a certain element
of
awkwardness.
Did Frieda recognise him?
Yeah, she was so desperate to come and tell me and show me. She goes, "Oh, look, it's that man you keep joking about."
Oh,
and
it's
just
hero.
Like the way,
love it.
Mate, the way you crop it. I mean, like cropping up on like corporate videos and stuff like that is, you know, is kind of a low for some people. But cropping up on a fucking Pony Club traffic management DVD is something else. They're like, we're gonna spend the big bucks. We're gonna get Mike in for this one. He's got rapport with the kids. He'll know how to teach them about this serious subject. So I thought it was quite a good.
Do we know?
Can Mike ride? I don't think so. He was driving the car.
So there's no footage of him on a horse.
I've not watched the whole thing. I can't confirm whether that's. Let me just go and check with Frieda just for a second. I think this is actually quite important. Just bear with me a second. Frieda.
Brilliant.
You know the traffic
manager. Well, do bear. I'll keep you updated while JD's away. I actually missed my flight back from Zagama because I had a bit of a running with the airline. Fueling airline, terrible. They'd cancelled my morning flight. Then I paid for baggage, but I hadn't checked it in. Oh, here we go.
I can confirm that Mike Bushell did not ride a horse. He was not at any moment. He was only in the car.
They didn't pay enough for that.
They didn't pay enough for that. I mean, the thing is, if he was doing that for BBC Breakfast, he'd have been on a horse and falling off a horse as well. So, you know, because that's the kind of jape that Mike...
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but I think that leads nicely on to probably one of the best things that I've seen put in the Facebook group in quite a long while, which was... Mike Fenwick is one of the new... members of the BBRC committee, the running club committee, and he is somewhere in Yorkshire, you know, up north, somewhere like that. And so we've got different people who are running events, and he is taking this to a new level. So Andy, who is basically our video producer, has done an event recently in Edale. In the Peak District, which was very well attended. You can go on the BBRC group and have a look. And I think there's also some pictures in the BBR group on Facebook. Really good event. And so Mike's putting one on as well, which I think annoyingly is the same weekend as the Beerathon, which is a bit annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's been putting together some preview videos, they've ticked all this. These are kind of like, you know, when LSE did the video for Goodness Shakes competition, and the amount of effort that he put in to that was like great. Mick's put like just a huge amount of effort into these things, you know, involved his children on bikes, running around different parts of, you know, the route that they're going on, Mike Bushell's in there, things. But he's created another video and he's gone to a new level. And, you know, he talks about how, you know, you can hire people on Cameo. He actually got Mike Bushell to try and encourage me to come to the event. And if you've not seen the video, it's worth watching because yeah. Mike is classic Mike in that video, isn't he? It is so it's both great and so awkward. He just doesn't stop. He doesn't. You know when like someone's saying something and they should just stop talking after a while, but they just keep going on and on and on, and then they kind of start rambling about any old thing because he obviously feels like he needs to give value for what he's doing. But it's brilliant. Brilliant.
Do you think Mike understands kind of what the podcast is, who the group are, what the event is? Do you think he's made the link or?
No, not at all. No.
Well, Mike, we love you. We want you to be on every safety video and corporate video. Do banners. If you have a video you need to be done for your company, or even if you don't have a video that you need to have made for your company, just get one made and get Mike in it. Come up with some spurious reason for like photocopying
chemical spills
in
nuclear meltdown.
Yeah, indeed.
Imagine you had to come up, because the thing is, you know, we are literally, you know, inches away from a nuclear third world war, nuclear war. It's about time we had kind of one of those 1950s style duck and cover type videos. Yes. And I couldn't think of anyone better. Oh, well, apart from us, but anyone yeah. better than us, you know, Mike Bushell would be the perfect one. The mix of needing some education, but keeping it light and probably a little bit funny
keeping
as well.
It light. Going out with a bang, as such. Now, I have a question for you, because this will go okay. out, I think, after the wedding. So, I have to be careful because Briggsy's in the house. She's taken the day off work, annoyingly, and this is the last day in the house. So I had this plan that I was going to sing our first dance. Of course I was.
Oh, no.
And it was...
Oh, you don't understand how awkward it is for everyone apart from you.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh,
I think that's brilliant.
God.
But I don't think it will be awkward for most of my friends because they'll find it hilariously awkward. But the trouble is, it's because what I consider to be our song... The lyrics do not work for our relationship because the lyrics are about
is it Smack My Bitch Up? Is that your song?
It is. It's more her song than mine. You know, if you see from the bruising. But so that it's Walk the Moon, Portugal. We love it. But the lyrics are about how throughout their whole life they never get together because they're always with someone else and they just never coincide, and how like she, you know, she should still carry him with her even though they're not together. So I rewrote the lyrics. It's called instead of called Portugal, it's called Barnstable, which is the area next to where we get married. And about a year ago, when I was using one of the 17 different versions of crappy headphones that I have, I gave a go at recording the song, but didn't really finish it off very well. And unfortunately, after I'd done that, the bed track that I'd stripped and everything else and the editing software got corrupted when my laptop crashed. So right. I only have I have that version of the song left where I haven't changed all the lyrics, and I haven't really. I've sung it in a lower tone than the actual song because it's easier to do that. Is it like, let's just see if this works? So I have that version and nothing else. And we are heading down today to Mama B's to pick up stuff to go to the wedding. And I'm not sure if Briggsy is going to leave the house today. And even if she does, I don't have the bedding track. I don't know if I have long enough to quickly sing in this room into the microphone just here. So, the question is, given that
it live?
It's no. The question is, do I just fess up to the crowd and be like, look, I have this grand plan, this is awful, but hey ho, I don't give a shit. I'm doing it because you get the gist of it, and I love this song, she loves this song. Or do we just go with like a song that she kind of knows is one of our songs that we just dance to that?
No, you've got to go for the first one. Fess up.
Play okay, it. So I can blame Jodie now. I can blame Jodie.
Jodie said this was a good idea.
Oh, but and also the you know when you
I've not heard it. I'm doing this without hearing it, so I don't know what I'm saying yes to. But it's your fucking wedding, so of course yes.
Okay, we're gonna call this bad boy episode. Will this ruin the wedding? Will this ruin?
I don't mean just say this will ruin the wedding.
And have you ever been on Spotify where you're looking for a song, and you by accident click on the karaoke version, and you realise it's been made in some kind of slave yes. music factory in the, and it's just slave the weirdest factory. Sounding synth.
What is a slave music factory? I kind of know what you mean, but I can't imagine how that works in reality. In Bangladesh it's or something, someone knocking to go, wait, you need to, we've got 5,000 tunes in the charts that you need to knock off in the next hour, kind of thing.
No, not piano, not real piano, no, this needs to be Cynthia. No, more distorted. Cut the guitar.
It's got to have a clip.
Yeah, more synth.
It is rock, but this has got to have a more calypso vibe to it. So AC/DC was a bit more calypso, so do that.
Yeah, can we change it to 3/4 beat instead of like 4/4? Is that so? The bedding track is very much like that. I think that's the only thing that could save me, is that it's so awfully done. People might think that I've intentionally made it this bad.
Oh, I can't wait now. I thought this was going to be awkward and painful, but actually, I'm going to look forward to this. I might not even be so drunk I'm blind at this point. It'll be a good milestone for me to get to.
And actually, the other thing that it saved you from, I had edited together an episode of David Attenborough, where the first TV episode about dynasties, I think it's called Dynasties.
Oh yeah,
is all about an old alpha chimpanzee called David. And so I'd gone through.
Oh
I'd
please,
out
please
all
include
the relevant,
that. Oh, please include
I'd lost
that
it.
As well.
I'd lost it when my laptop crashed. Yeah, it was all about the tale of David, where he gets challenged by a young upstart male. He loses his women.
Called Danny Ben.
yes. And so I re-edited it to have this, like, two-minute scene that we were going to have where I kind of win back Briggsy. And we're going to have everyone.
Wait. You're going to act it out alongside this backing track.
Oh my god,
that would have been horrific. can you not? Come on, someone. We've got 48 hours to recover this from the laptop. Surely someone can help with this. Oh my god. Are you sure that this can't be done?
It had some lovely moments in it where. Like one of the female primates was like, clearly it was implying she was basically a massive whore and just putting it out to everyone. So it's going to be, I planned at that moment, I'd be like going up to one of the bridesmaids and like standing next to her and being like, so there were, you know, it was really well thought through, so it would be really funny to anyone. but I just don't know. I don't know how I can edit it quickly enough to Andy. Andy. He's a ninja, isn't he?
He is a ninja. He can. He'll be able to rip it. Yeah, he will.
Oh my gosh. Well, maybe. This is it. Let's see. So, Andy, we know you wanted
your bank holiday, but we've got something far more important.
Andy, don't worry if you can't, because no one's expecting it. And no one's wanting
it. I'm expecting it. I know. You know when like something goes off, like the Olympics goes off and it's brilliant. And everyone goes, oh, it's brilliant. And then Boris Johnson said after that, he goes, you don't know about all the things that went wrong, all the things that didn't get put in. You know, he goes visibly white when he looks at it, but no one can tell. If you know that something's not been included, which is as brilliant as that, my entire enjoyment of the event will plummet. There's got to be a way of including that.
I'll message Andy and see if it's possible. I think it's quite easy from the gist of it what, the great thing is it's seamless, because it is David Attenborough talking about this great ape David. Anyway, I've got a few things.
Nothing like putting the focus on the bride on the wedding day. One of my friends got married, and the best man stood up to do a speech about the groom. And then when the groom stood up, he was, you know what a groom's supposed to do? He's supposed to like thank everyone and stuff like that. The groom stood up and then started like laying into the best man as though it was the best man's wedding. And so the whole thing was just basically this kind of banter between the groom and the best man, and like the bride got left out of it. It was really weird. It was great, but I wouldn't know what I'd have thought if I was the family of the bride.
Haven't had time to do my speech yet either. So if there's anything nice you'd like me to say about Briggsy, let me know now, because I'm short on content. I've got a few things.
You're allowed to be funny when it comes to talk about the bride and things like that. You can just be sincere, can't you? Just be sincere, and it's really easy to kind of get a little bit just say all the right. It's really easy to say all the right things. It's saying the wrong things that requires some special attention.
I mean, you don't doubt my ability, though, do you?
I do not doubt your ability.
Well, firstly, I've got two updates. One of them is linked to BrewDog. I've been back to Park Run last weekend.
Oh yeah.
And so the update
wasn't cancelled for a lacrosse match or anything, was it?
It wasn't for a change. So first Park Run, I think I did sub-20, just as a let's see what happens. I think, was that right? Second sub run, I think it's like 1940. Second Park Run, I did sub 20, I think was the big thing. So
yeah,
first Park Run was maybe 20, let's have a look in my emails. So a quick update, and the reason we're saying this, because I thought it was useful, well, interesting for people at home, just to get a sense of how quickly you can pick up your fitness, given that I hadn't done any running for 2.5 years. So first one was 2020, 20 seconds 20, yep, in March 26th. Nice. Second Park Run I did was then the week after, and I think I scraped under 20 by a few seconds. And these have all been run without my watch. 2041, whoa, yeah. I think the week after that, I did almost the same thing hungover. And then last weekend, back to Peckham Rye, 1853. So,
big
jump. And
Fuck you.
So that's... But it's the first run I've had where I felt like... I didn't feel awful at the start of it, and just felt kind of light. But what this means, I've messaged Mr. Dog, because Mr. Brewdog and I had a bet that he was going to be sub-18 first. And I have said to Martin, like, he's not replied back yet. I'm going to chase him again. I've said, look, I'm now sub-19. Are we on? loser has to do a marathon covered in peanut butter. Because I think we need to see that from someone, right? He's yet to message back. Yeah. So
where was he?
Races. And actually, he was pretty good. He hadn't told me a park run time, but he was training for a marathon, and his park run PB, so his 5K PB was around kind of 18:5, 18:10. So but he's a sub 3 marathon runner. Like he can definitely get sub 18. Yeah. He's gone quiet though, so I'm going to poke him again to see if we can resurrect.
He's embarrassed.
This.
Embarrassed about the Clockwork Orange situation. That's why.
He's embarrassed. It's why. Yes. That's. I mean, the email.
Maybe this is all part of it. Maybe he thinks the Clockwork Orange is. Maybe he thinks those boxes are for you to drink. And what they're doing, there must be some quality in that. There must be some banned substance in the Clockwork Orange. That knowing that you're going to have that in your system when you go under, and then he'll call a steward's inquiry. It's all part of the grand plan. Never. He's thought long term. He's 12 moves ahead.
He is. So this bet is hopefully back on. Although I've not really been running or training my week away with Zagam and all that. But we need to talk about Trail Pursuit, don't we?
Trail Pursuit. The most misspelt name of a company that I've ever seen. How many people don't know how to spell pursuit? My God, that's all I could think about when I was seeing all the complaints. Let's talk about that. So you have some kind of additional knowledge to this, and it's been talked about all week in the BBR group, and even in the private chat as well. And I've been joking about it. There's nothing to joke about related to it. But explain what happened.
Now, well, this is. I think you should explain what happened. But it's more. I don't know how openly I can speak about the things I know.
Okay.
Because one, I know one of the founders, and I've always thought they're a nice person. We've gone for a run before together in a group. And if I went to the run show or to anything else, we'd have a little chat, like, how's things going? Oh yeah, what's that? So on that side, it's someone who I just thought was, a nice person who liked running. On the other side is another friend from a different event who has been fairly direct with me, saying, actually, they may have, see, I'm careful my wording here, may have completely ripped off our event and used photos from our event for the promotion of their event. And it's weird because I like the person from Trail Pursuit in all of my interactions we've ever had, but the person from the other event is a genuine friend of mine who I trust, I love, doing great things, wonderful event, wonderful person, just a good all-round egg, a massive good egg, shall we say. So I don't really want to say too much specifics.
Well, because let's explain exactly what this. So basically, happened was, is within the group, Paul Album posted, if you want to know what would happen if Bad Boy Running organised a running weekend, Trail Pursuit in the Lakes this week is a fair shout. And there's been lots of negative review. But he said, lucky no one died. And then he had, I think a BBR weekend would actually be pretty well organised. And we can actually guarantee that BBR weekends are very, very well organised. So he was only kind of joking about that. If we're not involved, they go off brilliantly. So what I without going into too much detail, from what people were saying and what everything that else has come out, is that they had a route in the lakes that people turned up to, and right at the last minute they changed the route. And the reason for that people were reporting was because lack of permissions. And so that is, you know, I mean, that's a little bit of a red flag, lack of permissions. You know, but lots of different things can happen around that. So again, it's very difficult to comment on that. The problem is that the alternative route that was given, and particularly this is the lakes, the alternative route that was given, it seemed to be far, far more technical, far, far more difficult for people that were trying this as either their first race or one without the thing. And so the alternative route meant that people were out for much, much longer. You know, if you've ever, if you've never run, you know, it was a kind of, I think the original route was a lower level route.
They said you could do the half marathon twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, one of the things that I think that said,
yeah, I think one of the things that people were complaining about is that it was very much sold as beginner friendly. Being told that, you know, you can do these things, and it's, you know, your first kind of experience of a mountain marathon, but in a really, you know, nice simple way. What it turned out to be that actually the people were, you know, there was just people were just being asked to do things which they were so far out of their comfort zone. You know, if you've never done scrambling before and you have to do that on a race, that will come as a proper shock to you. Or if you're, you know, in areas exposed, or cutoffs are unrealistic. You know, there's from what people were saying in the group, it seemed to be a real disaster, and so they've addressed that as to what it was. But you know, there's a whole ton of reviews on Race Check that, you know.
Well, they've kind of addressed it by deleting comments posts. And,
The other thing is that, you know, they put out a statement, around this, and talk about, you know, the support and, you know, learning from it and everything, and then they use the excuse that, like, you know, everyone thinks we're a big company, but actually we're a small company and there's only three of us and blah blah blah. And I'm so fucking fed up of people using that as an excuse. Like, the size of your business doesn't have any influence. If you can't run a safe event, or an event that doesn't that there's misrepresentation as to what that event is like, that's got nothing to do with the size of your company. I'm so fed up of hearing that as an excuse. And we hear this all the time. Startups going, oh, you know, how many times has a, you know, startup done something and they go, oh, we're just a startup, you know, we move fast. If you move fast, it means you're fucking cutting corners. And if you're cutting corners in a race, that means that people's lives are potentially endangered. So it's such a bullshit excuse, and I'm so fucking fed up with it. It's not an excuse. Like, if you can't run an event safely that meets the expectations of of the people attending it, then don't run an event. Like, the size of your company has nothing to do with that. Don't run an event. You can't run it. It's as simple as that. And it's just with Parkrun, you know, Parkrun is run voluntarily. They go, you know, we rely on volunteers. We're a lean company. We do these kind of things. But they would never fucking compromise on safety. I mean, it's a totally different situation. But they'd never compromise on safety, and they'd never use an excuse with something went wrong with the fact that they had volunteers. So
But I wonder if they think, I think the issue is they didn't realise they compromised on safety.
I mean, that is even more frightening.
The problem is,
a really interesting thing is that I got a message from Andy Palmer recently, and he was talking about how so many of the this is a bigger situation, actually, how so many of the races that are being run, you know, the show up rates are really low. Like, people, you know, some are running at 30-40% capacity. You know, when previously they'd have been filled. People aren't doing it. But there's a lot of races coming on where people aren't even bothering with permissions, and they create, you know, people are running races, and they're kind of just setting these things up, and they're kind of new to the industry, or they see that there's gaps in the market, and they're not doing all the permissions right. And again, this is hearsay, so, you know, you kind of make your own decisions.
Susan Shaw on that.
What?
Susan Shaw.
What do you mean?
Don't worry, it's a terrible joke to the band hearsay. And because she's now running.
For fuck's sake. I was thinking, what? Susan Shaw's got a fucking race. What? And you're and now.
Oh, yeah. No.
No. So, yeah. So. There are, you know, there, I mean, that's always been a case, especially in ultras. There's always been people who set up races and they are very light on things like safety and things like that. And it's the, it's not, there's a big difference between knowing there's a danger and then being reckless about it, or just not even having the awareness that this can be a problem. And that, I those are both very, very dangerous in their own ways. So you know,
do we,
especially
we?
The fucking Lake District. I mean, it's not as if this is running around a lake or on farmland or, you know, a thing. This is the Lake District, like running up a fucking a hill, you know, even, you know, walking up a fell in the Lake District has its dangers if the weather turns, if anything else happens. Yeah. Organising a race of that length up there, I mean, just, I don't know. Should we try and interview them?
Do you think should we try and interview them to actually understand it, or is that allowing someone to kind of justify an unjustifiable situation?
I always think it's by that time it's always they're in justification mode.
That's true. I mean, they'll come up with reasons that they didn't have that weren't true. So
yeah, I mean, the apology
to match.
Exactly, their apology is very, you know, comprehensive. You know, and some of the things they talk about, you know, that they take full responsibility and they apologise. A mix of internal challenges that led to poor communications. You know, reviewing everything. That, you know, they.
I mean, it's done now. Like, Chelsea is done.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no coming back. Yeah, there's no point in apologising. Well, you can apologise, but there's no, like, you will not do any other events. It's over. It's like fire festival. It's been compared to, but to get for the listener at home to get a sense of the discrepancy between the expectations. So this was put as like a running festival for everyone. So the half marathon had one water stop. That was, I think maybe at 10K was more of 15K, and it had 5,400 feet of elevation. So that was over the course of 15 miles. And it was, so some people would take up 7 hours doing the half, and it's not far off the elevation of Zagama, where Zagama is known as, you know, one of the, a pretty hard mountain marathon where Kilian Jornet takes 3 hours 45 to do it. We had Kenyan runners who are 208 marathon runners who were taking 4 hours 15, actually more, no, slower than that, like 4 hours 20 to run it. And this has a similar elevation over the half marathon, and they're then suggesting people should do that loop twice. But apparently there were also sheer drops on single track that were barely, you know, you'd have to be a confident trail runner to go on it. So just, yeah, one of those situations. Like sometimes you hear of things going wrong, it's quite funny and it's quite entertaining and it's annoying for the people in it and they've lost their money, or whereas this is just outright dangerous. And you'd imagine as well, if something had gone wrong, you can't imagine they've got massive support for safety. Yeah. If they've gone out knowing that this is the half. And it's, the thing is that the Lake District has so many amazing routes, and there are some incredible routes out there that you could organise. You could just run around the lakes itself and just go up one hill, and there's so many routes that are safe, there's so many paths that
the permissions thing, isn't it? It's the permissions thing about, like, what, you know, what happened to that, because I can't imagine that you'd have permission withdrawn like immediately. I mean, that was a weird thing to happen. Something, you know,
I mean, that maybe that is what happened. Maybe that, you know, that something came up. But normally, if something comes up like that, it's a safety issue. So yeah, I don't.
But even so, having a half marathon that takes in that level of elevation is utterly insane.
But as a beginner, you won't know that. That, you know, as a beginner, that's the thing. If you you know, a beginner trail race. Those things just don't knock, you know, you're not gonna necessarily know how much water to take with you. You're not gonna know anything like that. If you've done, you know, half marathons on the road and you're stepping up, you'll expect, you know, water every couple of miles. You'll expect loads of support. You know, it's not like a gradual step up. It's a big fucking step up from a road marathon to half marathon to a half marathon on a trail in the Lake District.
And actually, as you said earlier, the biggest worry is kit. That it seems like the weather wasn't horrific, but it's, as someone, if you've not been to the Lake District when it's bad and you've gone there thinking it's summer, it's sunny down here, yeah, as you can say, you could have a situation like in China quite quickly.
Yeah, and it changes so quickly.
Not able to see.
It's the Lake District. It changes quickly. You can start up a fell. It'll be sunny by the time you get to the top. The weather's changed and there's like mist descended and fuck, you know, it's just I don't know. It's strange, isn't it, that, you know, there's a lot of races that are really struggling for people, and then there's races like these which they're getting lots of people along. You're doing the kind of the right thing to promote it and everything else. But, you know, really damaging the experience of people that potentially this is their first experience of a trail half. You know, what's that going to... It doesn't help for trust for everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does make you then wonder... Like, I guess the question now is, how do you assess whether a race is going to be well organized or not? That's the hard thing. And what I loved about I was talking to Briggsy about this, and what she pointed out about the organizer, who I won't mention because who is great, is that they had set up their race, their festival, by taking friends and doing it and trying it, then growing it to a manageable size and seeing what they needed and testing that and doing that and then growing it and then it's those steps. And I think this is a group, a race that was organized from London as well, which to me is always a bit of a worry. I know the logistics reasonably well. I wouldn't really want to put a race on there that I was organising unless I'd moved up there to really get a sense of it. Because I think you need the knowledge of the local community. And actually, as you say, things like if you have volunteers, you need them in the Lake District to be local volunteers, because there's no use having a lovely volunteer from London who's just stood on the side of a Helvellyn with no idea what's coming in.
Yeah, exactly.
Tough one. And I guess it just comes down to really you've got to look at routes well and get a sense of... But I just don't know if you could have told, if you'd have been able to tell ahead of this easily that...
I don't know, it's like...
Because they changed the route, say, last minute.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's a difficult thing to think. You know, you think, well, you know, they're a race company. They know the area. I trust them. I've already paid for this. I've already booked my accommodation. Already, you know, everything's in motion. Yeah. You know, it's very difficult with that kind of momentum going on. One thing I do hope, as a result of us talking about this, is that I hope we've got some of our facts right. Because if we don't, by the time this gets posted on YouTube... Our YouTube troll Peter is going to be calling us out for getting a fact or two wrong. Have you seen Peter, brilliant, the YouTube troll, who seems to listen to entire episodes and then hate on us as to the lack of accuracy around some
bring
of the things
on the
we
hate.
Talk about.
What are the big things we've got wrong?
I think there was a comment made about, we were talking about Mo.
Am I not getting married this weekend?
But apparently you're not. You're not getting married this weekend. But a comment was made about Mo, and Peter's comment underneath the video was Mo won Chicago, you clown. I don't know who that was, you or me. I can't remember saying anything about Mo and what he'd won and what he hadn't won.
Mo won Chicago in 2008. I know that. So it, probably me, but yeah, I mean, I knew
but
that.
But apparently one of us is a clown. I'm just trying to find the exact, because his most recent one in relation to
I like the calling out there, the clown.
I like the clown.
He's also
won a comma
Dubai as well.
Should he use a comma, though? That's let's have a look. Here we go. There we go. Oh, yeah, the latest one in Jodie and the Racist Comedian, episode 373. We talked about John Kelly, and I think you made a comment around how John Kelly broke the Wainwright's record by a couple of days. Pete has gone, John Kelly broke the Wainwright's record by 11 hours, not 2 days. You know, doing some research on the topics you're going to discuss won't actually kill you. I'm like, do you know what? It would really.
Well, no,
it would, Pete.
It wouldn't kill us, but I think the reality, the hard thing is that we just don't have time to research thoroughly for a twice a week podcast. And true, it means that we're not always factual. But I think actually, you know, I think when we were talking about it, we put our hands up and said, and we're scrambling. And yeah, it's I used to have more time to do it, but literally now, when we're coming at the topics, we just don't have time to write notes on every single thing we're talking about in a way that we can then concisely read them, and so we can either pause and read articles while we're recording to then make sure that we're happy with being semi wrong with the intent being there.
The thing is, okay, this the thing I've always said is that we're trying as much as possible to replicate a conversation in a pub about running. How many people do their research before sitting in a pub about talking about anything? It's the lack of research that makes that more interesting. I mean, again, if you're concerned about our research, go and listen to the Barefoot episode we recorded very, very early on, where we knew nothing about barefoot running, yet we managed to string that into like a 45-minute episode. In which we actually gave advice. It's actually still one of our most popular episodes, weirdly. But the other thing, Pete, is, like, why are you fucking listening to us? Like, honestly, like, this is the second video you've gone through the whole video. Watch it. Like, we are not the podcast you want to listen to. Really, if you're expecting research, accuracy.
No, Pete, we love Pete. Pete, you need to pick up our everything. We want dissection from now on. Dissection.
I don't think Pete's really Pete. I think Pete is a do-badder who is trolling us. I'd put it down as Lorna, possibly, because Pete, when you look at his account, he's got no videos. He's on there, thinks solely to troll us. So he's either one of the do-badders. He's either Martin Yelling, who is just a bit bored and is looking to kind of give us a bit of abuse under this name, or possibly someone else. It could be me or you.
Maybe it's Mo.
Exactly. So yeah. Who is Pete? That's the question. Comment down below. Who do you think Pete is? I mean, if it's one of our enemies, that list is endless. That list is endless.
Do you know what I'm hoping?
It might even be the racist comedian.
I'm hoping you've got his name wrong and he's going to correct you on that. That would be the ultimate. But I'm going to run away now and try and organise the rest of my wedding day.
You can record the song, because what you do is you keep pretending that you're recording the podcast. That's what you need to do. Keep pretending you're recording the podcast.
I'd need to actually sing very loud to be able to. Because if you imagine a song where someone's Tina Turnering, that is in essence what I'd have to do. So the neighbours will be aware I'm recording if I record. And Briggsy's ill at the moment as well, so she's not keen to leave the house at all.
Right.
Although we've got to go and buy a lot of things for the wedding, so We need to do that now as well. Well, mate, I will. I'll see you this weekend.
All right, man. See you later. I can't wait for the awkwardness.
And if we,
yes.
Do we have a poll? Do we have a poll for the bad boy runners? Well, should we ask them? Given Trail Pursuit, let's actually go for something that's good advice. We're going to ask in the group, like, how do you spot when, like, how do you judge? How can you judge when an event is a good event and when it's likely to be a shitstorm?
Yeah.
Because
good question.
They might actually come through with some good examples of things you can just check to make sure that you're not going to end up with a Trail Pursuit situation.
Yeah, exactly.
And
good question.
Well, that's just it, guys. And if you want us to interview anyone, I've fallen behind with booking. So actually, we've got some more slots. We've had a few suggestions come in by email. So thank you, Doobadders, for those. I will be messaging you all back as post-wedding, as soon as I've actually got time to read emails. And please do rate and review. It really helps with our visibility and getting the guests. And if you want to get a sense of why things like Mike Bushell are such heroes, listen to the A to Z of Doobaddery. It's about 3 years old now, but it's all the lexicon, all the little stories of who G-Law is, why I need to punch him in the face, things along those lines. So go back and listen to that. It's very, very silly, very fun.
If you want to join the conversation, head over to the Facebook group, answer three questions, and you can give your opinion about Trail Pursuits and how to spot when a race is going south pretty quickly. If you want to buy merch, head to store.buyedbyrunning.com and purchase a nice red vest or T-shirt.
And just one last request, Pete, can you up the analysis, particularly of Jody, because you've clearly hit a nerve. And I think it's
brilliant. I don't like him criticising you, David. I don't like him criticising you. That's it. I don't like anyone criticising you.
If you can...
Fuck you, Deborah
Meaden.
If you can up this, Pete, to
maybe following his Facebook posts as well, and just, you know, any grammatical errors, things like that, would be exceptional.
There's a mouse. Oh, on that dramatic note, there's a mouse.
On that bombshell, that is exciting. Well, pleasure, do better. That's listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you later, man. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
I must admit I was a clown to be messing around, but that doesn't mean that you have to leave town. Come back, yes, and give me one more try, 'cause a love like this should I never ever die. Come back.
Fuck you, buddy.